Having been promised their independence, they threw in their lot with the Allied force. Ill-equipped and ill-supplied, they fought gallantly against regular Turkish armies and swarm of Mohammedans, Kurds and Arabs. Between 1914 and 1918, they had made contact with the British troops in Mesopotamia. They had lost about 50% of their numbers through actual fighting, massacres and disease. The British government, who had encouraged resistance by the Assyrian nation against the Turks, had recognized the great contribution made by the Assyrians to the Allied cause in general and that of the British in particular. To quote only a few of the prominent Britishers who have witnessed to this fact, Colonel J.J. McCarthy, who headed the British military mission to Persia during the First World War, writing to me stated, "I have made a strong point of the fact that your people were definitely promised by me, acting under orders from headquarters, of course, that they would have their country restored to them, and that my orders and only reason for raising the Assyrian contingent in Hamadan in 1918 was to drive the Turks out and reoccupy the country. I do hope the Foreign Office will do something and do it now and before it is too late." J.S. Ward of the London Daily Telegram stated, "It was we who invited the Assyrians to rise against the Turks and promised them their independence and our protection if they would do so." In 1932, some 18 years prior to the date fixed by the League of Nations, much to the apprehension of the non-Arab elements in general and the Assyrians in particular, Great Britain decided to terminate the mandate. The Mandates Commission of the League of Nations was equally apprehensive, and it was after the British government had given specific undertaking, shouldering the moral responsibility, that the Commission finally acquiesced to the demand. Thus the Assyrians were left refugees and unsettled, and at the mercy of a people against whom they had previously been used. Alas, these fears were more than justified, for less than a year after Iraq was given its independence, one of the most savage massacres in history was conducted by the Iraqi army in uniform against unarmed Assyrians, men, women and children alike. The perpetrators of this slaughter were acclaimed as heroes by the Iraqi government and the Arab populace. They were decorated and raised to the ranks of generals and pashas. No attempt was made to bring one of them to justice. A British officer who visited the scene of this slaughter declared, "I saw and heard many a terrible thing in the Great War, but what I saw in Semel is beyond human imagination." Likewise declares Sir Henry Dobbs, State High Commissioner for Iraq, "We have seemed to, by the abandonment of the Assyrians, to sacrifice our very honor. We have suffered the imputation that on the scene of their agony, we living have betrayed the hopes of our dead. Immediately following the massacre, I was denationalized and deported from Iraq without any trial, and my demand for one has been refused all along. I pleaded the Assyrian cause before the League of Nations and the British Foreign Office. The League, however, was unable to find a solution to the problem. Thus the Assyrians were left in a far worse position even than that which existed prior to the massacre. Some 12,000 of the victims of the massacre in Iraq, composed for the large part of orphans and widows, were removed from Iraq and dumped in the most God-forsaken part of Jazeera in northeast Syria. Disease from one side and murders by the Bedouin Arabs from the other have already claimed a heavy toll from among their ranks." When the Second World War broke out, Great Britain, finding itself friendless in the Middle East, once again realized the usefulness of the Assyrians. At the time, Britain was fighting unaided with its back to the wall. She was in a desperate plight. Rommel was poised at the gates of Alexandria. Syria and Iraq had fallen to the hands of the Germans, and the precious Iraqi oil, on which depended the Mediterranean fleet, was in the hands of the enemy. On May 2, 1941, the British in Habaneh, which is the most important air base in the Middle East, found themselves completely surrounded by the splendidly equipped and well-mechanized Iraqi army, comprising of 40,000 strong, assisted by the German Air Force. The British had no troops at the time in Iraq except the Assyrian levies, and the majority of these were deployed to Egypt and the island of Cyprus. For the rest of the account, let me quote a few statements made by prominent Englishmen. Philip Guadella was commissioned by the British Air Ministry to write on air power in the Middle East, stating, "They had saved Iraq and the whole position in the Middle East. Indeed, they had saved something more. For 3 weeks later, the Germans went to war with Russia, and they had saved the road through Persia, which was now vital for the transit of Allied aid to the USSR. If that was to be safeguarded, Iraq must be in sure hands. And by strange conjunction of events, Habaneh had helped to save the Kremlin."